to round out our Tznius discussion today, and then we'll move on. Sorry we've been stuck on this stuff, Ayin Beis, for a long time, but I've been very interested in it. I hope you guys are too. And then, have you guys gotten up to the next Mishnah yet on Ayin Beis and Beis? Not yet, okay. So then we're on pace. And next week, actually, my brother had a baby last night on my way home. I got a text from my brother that he had a baby boy. Yeah, thank you. So next week, we'll have to see the bris on Monday in Baltimore. So we'll see what happens. So anyway, back to the issue. So we left off on, we had everyone together, Baruch Hashem, in various forms in my apartment last week. It worked out. So we left off with an issue of pants. And the last thing we mentioned is that there is a machlokes at poskim, whether it should be considered a problem of beged ish, but the Pashas HaDvarim, Rav Avadya, is pretty convinced about it. And from everything I've heard from discussing these shilas with Rav Willig once and Rav Neuberger, you know, that the assumption is that it's not a problem with beged ish, which is very mistaker, because there are many women who wear pants. It's not considered something strange, and they have women's pants. It's hard to understand that it would be considered beged ish. So let's say that's the Pashas HaDvarim. But the story obviously, or pretty obviously, we know this. We don't know, maybe not know exactly why, but it doesn't end at the beged ish issue. And the postgim, Rav Avadya, has a big tshuva about this. Actually, Rav Avadya's tshuva is not primarily about pants, about other things, but he talks about it, and others, and Minchas Yitzchak as well, and others discuss this issue, and that is the following. Rav Avadya points to a Gemara in Shabbos. The Tzitz Eliezer also points out the Gemara in Shabbos is going through the times of I'm not sure, they're talking from Yishayahu. I'm not exactly sure what the context of what this was describing, but at some point the women were acting very inappropriately. So it goes through the Tzitzim, darshing different things they did, and then they had pretty serious punishment because of the way they were acting. And one of the things described in the pasuk is uvraglehen teach sena. Tachsena, maybe, I forgot exactly how to pronounce it, Verlehen Tachsena. And so through their legs they make HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry. Maybe not angry. I don't even know what that word means. I'm not sure. In context of that. Anybody remember? Okay. I think Rashi their comments, but I don't remember what Rashi says.
You say that it's
Miloshan Kas. Maybe it is Miloshan Kas. Okay, just the Ayin and the Chaf are flipped around. So the Gemara says, "Amar Yitzchak debay Rabbi Ami Malamishin Matilos Mor Vafarsim Abimelech." And they would put these spices in their shoes. Umahalchos Beshuke Yerushalayim. They would walk out in the marketplace. The Kevan Shemagios Eitzel Bachurei Yisrael. And they would come to the young men. Boatos Bekarka. They'd kick the ground. Umatizos Alehem. And they would spray these spices, these perfumes. Umachnisos Behen Yitzchak Hara Keeres Bechos. And they would get the Yetzer going like the venom of a snake coming into these men. And what the post can point out from this is anything that's going to bring about a situation of getting the Yetzer of a guy going is a violation of this idea that Chazal have in the Gemara Shabbos. Can't say right here that it is the Reis and it's the Rabbanan, but obviously something that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not the Ratzon Hashem for women to be acting in a way that's going to bring about these thoughts. And what the post can assume there is that it's the lashon of the Tzitz Eliezer's pisuk or aglayim, the fact that you see the form of the legs, that the legs are split, so that brings about an attraction, or brings about at least a man to pay attention to this woman and to start thinking about things and yehurim and other problems. So that's what the poskim assume, and therefore they say that is an iser, maybe not iser daraisa to wear pants, but iser darabanan certainly, you know, against this pasuk in Nach, and certainly against the Ratzon Hashem to bring about this kind of situation, maybe even Lifnei Iver, which we mentioned last time, possibly. But even if we could avoid the issues of Lifnei Iver, if we technically look at the sugya of Lifnei Iver, it's against certainly what we see here in this pasuk in Nach in terms of drawing men's attention. And the way they say is the pisuk raglaim, so it draws the attention. So I thought that I didn't see anyone point to this, but I thought I didn't look at all the contemporary Sfarim on Ksuvos. I didn't get a chance to look everywhere. But I thought Rashi, we look at Rashi here on this second shot. Remember, that's where we started. We had the Mishnah talks about Tava Bashuk, a woman who's spinning wool in the shuk, that's considered overes al das yehudis. The first opinion was she shows her arms. We discussed that. The second opinion, we never got to this point, but the second opinion, we're trying to show how that would be shayach to other nyanim mitzvahs. And the second was that the lashon of the gemara was betava vered keneged paneha. So Rashi had said v'chut misradeid keneged paneha shalmata, and there's a string dropping down keneged paneha shalmata. The string dropping down sounds like between her legs. So there's something inappropriate about having attention. It sounds like exactly what Rashi's saying, and I think I mentioned, I forgot to bring my marmakomas from last time. If anyone has it, I think we quoted Rabbeinu Yonah that said that you're going to pay attention. So that seems to be what Rashi's saying here, is drawing attention to that part of the body is this idea, this violation of Das Yehudis here. So this does seem to be a mucker for that concept, again, because there's some kind of string dropping down between her legs. The problem, as Rabbeinu Yonah says there from in the Shittim Kubetzes, is drawing attention to that area of the body. That seems to be one source for it. In the Sefer I mentioned, as Tzum Chachma, he points potentially another source for this area being something that should be covered. That's a Gemara in Bava Kamma. So the Gemara in Bava Kamma in source 2 has the Asara Takanos of Ezra. Hey, Fima. Here you go. We're not doing much Gemara today.
Oh, okay. Right.
We'll read very slowly the one line of Tosas we're going to get to. So the Gemara in Bava Kamma, we're in source number 2. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says there were 10 takanos that Ezra established, and one of the takanos was that a woman should wear chedaisha chageres besinar. She should wear a sinar. She should wear some kind of beltish kind of thing around her waist. And the Gemara says mishum tzniusa. So for tzniyus, this is what Ezra was attacking, this is what she wear. What's pshat in this? So the Shittim Gubetza says that the pshat is that since women, she gets her period, let's say it's that time of the month that she's supposed to get her period, so she should wear extra clothing there. She should wear something, make sure she doesn't get all bloody, because if she gets all bloody, that's going to be a breach of tzniyus. Right? So the stomach of vest on her, make sure lo yislach lechu big dam. Her clothing shouldn't get dirty, but vest. With seeing the blood of Magia, La Karka, and it's going to spill down to the ground, that's going to be a breach of sneeze for her to get her period and for everyone to see. So that is one pshat. Okay, that wouldn't be so relevant to us. But the Meiri in Shabbos, where the Mishnah discusses a sinar, same thing regarding carrying, so the Meiri in Shabbos describes, if you look in the middle of the fourth of the first line there, Perish Shehaisha Chogeres B'sinar, a woman wears a sinar, v'hu ke'ein sadin, it's like sadin katan, it's a small cloth, small like handkerchief, lefaneha, litznias shelo yir'u shipule me'eha. So they shouldn't see shipule me'eha, sounds like it's describing like down from her stomach. It sounds like below her stomach, in that area of the body, that shouldn't be seen. So that was like that kind of Ezra, yishum tzniusa, like the Gemara says, that tzniusa would be to cover that part of the body which would be inappropriate for her to expose. So we have our Rashi. The poskim there, they don't quote these sources. They just seem to say misvara. That misvara draws attention for a woman to wear pants. But it sounds like there's indication from Rashi here and from this Meiri in Shabbos explaining Gemara Bava Kamma. He doesn't explain the Gemara Bava Kamma, but that Sefer I mentioned links these together. Sounds like it's indication that this is an area that is meant to be covered. And it's for this reason that the poskim are against. This is really the major reason why the poskim are against wearing pants. Yes.
When you see meant to be covered, it's not just like covered. It's almost like a double covering.
Yeah, no, exactly. Not meant to be of the terms of the having the legs split. That should be covered over. Not merely covering the skin. Here we're not talking about the skin. We're talking about the appearance of that area should be covered over. That should. To notice that area.
But what's that having for the Meiri that she would actually be wearing pants?
Yes, she would be wearing pants, and on top of the pants, she would have this sudden cut them with stains. It sounds like above and beyond what she's normally wearing. Maybe that she was wearing pants. Maybe she was wearing, I don't know exactly what you're saying. It sounds like it's just a double covering,
right.
A skirt on with another thing on top of it.
Right.
Could be that's what the Meiri means.
Right,
so yeah, what is that? Yeah, I mean, I don't know how then would you see pule me'eha. I don't know exactly what that's describing. How would you see something if she was wearing like a dress on top of that anyway?
Yeah.
Hard to understand. Lamaisa, this is what the post assumed, that it's this having seeing the legs split like in the form it is with pants, that would be a problem. The issue becomes, let's say you have very baggy pants or so it's hard to draw the line here because the pisuk raglayim is the lashon of the poskim, and how do we know where to draw the line? Not exactly clear.
What if the pants split below the knee?
So then that's like a skirt.
Right.
I don't know what makes that pants. So actually, in the Sefer HaHavi mentions, let's say you wear a skirt above pants. So he said, it's not a pound begadi, so you can wear it. The skirt's going to cover the lower part of the body. The pants are going to cover the legs. The skirt's going to cover the area that's supposed to be covered, and that would be okay. He gets into whether the skirt then has to be above the knee or not. So, I asked my wife what she thought about it. She thought it would be, you'd look strange. It wouldn't look so new if it was above the knee. But anyway, it would, he thinks maybe even, I don't know, maybe you don't have to be as careful about the knee in that situation. I'm not sure. He used to iron with that, because the knee is covered up with the pants, and you're wearing the skirt to cover up that area. So, seemingly you have everything covered, but not exactly clear. I think one should ask a shiloh with individual shilohs. People that talk about snow pants, people talk about scrubs in a hospital. There's different shilohs that come up, and some of them a little bit of case by case basis. But those are the general kolim that it's this. The assumption is that having the pisuk raglayim is going to draw attention. Drawing attention, you see indicated in the Gemara on Shabbos is a problem. I mean, misvara, we could have said it just. If it's going to bring about your hurim, it's a problem. The Gemara on Shabbos indicates that's a problem. Our Rashi indicates that's a problem. And so that is the assumption of the poskim. Okay, here's the one line of Gemara we're going to read. Not Gemara, but Tosos. Yeah. Tosos, that was Rashi's pshat. We were explaining, the Gemara describes a woman spitting wool in the shuk. That's the sort of region of Dag Yudas. So Rashi says what he says. It draws attention to her legs. Tosos says a different pshat. There's also the Rambam's pshat. B'tove vered k'neged paneha, Rabbeinu Chananel Pirish. Tove vered tsemer odom. She's spinning a red string of wool. Hi tove sheyipol al paneha, mizihiruso. So she does it in a way that should fall on her face some of the shine of the red. I don't understand exactly this matzias, but l'maisa there's some red involved. V'zeu azut meitzach u'pritzus. And this is considered a brazen way of acting and a way of priestess. To have this red string there and drawing attention to herself with the red, that is considered priestess. Adkan de Tosos. Is there anything left of this Tosos for us? So, you may or may not be familiar with the concept of red, but let's see where the red comes from. There definitely was and may still be a minhag for women not to wear red. But let's see where that comes from. And So the pasuk in Vayikra Parshat Achrimos, Kemaseis Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtem Bo Lo Sasu Chmasei Eretz Kanan Asher Ani Mevi Eskem Shama Lo Sasu. You shouldn't do like the bad acts of the Goyim Mitzrayim and Kanan. Chukosehem Lo Silechu. You cannot go, literally, you cannot walk in the ways of their chukim. That's what the pasuk says. And this is the issur that we know of chukas akum. We're not supposed to act in the way of the goyim. What does that mean? When does that apply? How are we magdir chukas akum? Oh, so what is the good? So you saw something in Ramakom. So we got a head start on this. So the major source that's discussed in the poskim and quoted by the Rama is the tshuva of the Maharik. The Mahari Kolom, Rabbi Yehuda Kolom, I think. I don't know. He's one of the late Rishonim. And the Beis Yosef quotes the whole thing here in Yerideya and some Kufayin Ches, which is the siman about Chukas HaGoyim, and this the Rama really almost word for word brings down the Ma'arik. And the Ma'arik says there are two. If you look at the first line in source number 6, Lafin is Daiti Nira, the Dover Pashut, the low lesser, he was asked about a doctor's coat. That was the Shiloh he got. Some kind of medical coat, and the equivalent of a white coat that we have nowadays. So he was asked by the Chukas HaGoyim to use the white doctor's coat. And he says, Nira levinazai the dover pashut to lo lesser mishum chok, ela the echar mishnei chalakim. You need one of two ways to have a violation of Chukas HaGoyim. And the first, as Matthew said, Ha'echad hu hadavar asher ein tamo nigle, k'demashma lashon chok. Number one is something whose reason, some way of acting, it doesn't only have to be clothing, really. Clothing is one application, but it's a way of acting. So it's a doing something that we a chok. Okay? And he brings evidence for this. I mean, chuko seyam lo seylechu. It does, you do think chukim, we know it's kind of chukim, before it quotes Rashi in the Ramban. Rashi in Parashat Kedoshim says that when on the puzzle chuko sei, as chuko sei deshmor, behem becholos arbiya kilayim, chulei, about kilayim. So Rashi there says, chukim are, as he quotes here, gzeros hamelech she'en lahem tam ledavar, gzeros that don't have a reason. And the Ramban touches up there. He says, nah, it doesn't mean it doesn't have a reason. Obviously, everything at Kadosh Baruch Hu certainly is mitzvah to have a reason. And the Ma'arik adds, even we could say the Goyim may have a reason, but ein tamo nigle, says the Ramban. That's a chok, is something that the tam is not revealed. That's what the word chok means. So, says the Ma'arik, category number one of chukas ha-Goyim is something strange that the Goyim do, something we don't understand. We can't explain why this would be. This is just what the Goyim do, and we don't understand the reason why they do it. So that's what he says at the end, towards the end of this paragraph, before the dots. So the chayotze b'zehu shehizkir, the third four lines from the bottom, shehizkir, the end of the line, shehizkir Torah shelo leilech b'chukosayim dekevan shu oseh davar mishuna. He's doing something strange. Asher ein bo tam nigla, doesn't have a reason that we can see. El shehem nohagim kain, just that's what the goyim do. Oz nireh vaday kenimshach achreihem. If you're doing it, obviously you're doing it because you're acting like the goyim. Why else would you do the strange thing that has no reason unless you're doing it to act like the goyim? That's definitionally, that by definition, that's going to be chukas ha-goyim. Umodil hem dim lo kain. Lama yaseh kedvarim ha-tmuim ha-ila. Why would you do this strange thing if it weren't for the fact that the goyim did it? Okay, so this example is not going to be true, but I saw Rabbi Simon has just put out a sefer this year, and he has a parak on chukas ha-goyim lo seylechu. So he quoted Rabbi Hoffman, who told him from Aaron Soloveitchik, that about graduation gowns, you know, cap and gown. So he, Ryan Soloveitchik, pointed out that the cap and gown is not that there's no reason. I mean, they have a cap and gown so you can know who the graduates are, and that is the point, to identify the graduates. And then I don't know if you have to start declaring that the dafka have to be a cap and gown, you could have some other way of identification. Once the point is identifying someone that's not considered below town. But let's say there was mamish no reason. It was the silliest thing in the world to wear a cap and gowns. And this is what Goyim did at graduations. They wore cap and gowns. Or, you know, I don't know, some other strange thing that on May, what's the date? May 11th? May 11th was, flip your shirt inside out day. So there's no reason for this. Very strange thing to do. If you would do that, so then that would be a violation of chukas ha-goyim. That's category number one. A ha'ara, to make on this, the Ramah, I have later, put it out of order, I apologize, but later in source number 10, we have the Ramah. We'll get to the Ramah, we'll read it inside when we're done, but the Ramah, the Maisa quotes this also from Marik, and the Ramah writes that the reason it's a problem when there's no reason that's revealed, so the Marik says, because obviously you're imitating the Goyim then. The Ramah says it's because, well, maybe we have to be choshesh at some shaykh to avodah zarah, right? Inside, turn your shirt inside out day on May 11th. So if I don't know, I don't understand why they're doing this, maybe it has its roots in avodah zarah. So the Ramah writes.
Why does that follow?
What do you mean, why does that follow? If you look at the Ramah, look at where the O Zion is, four lines from the bottom in the Ramah. He says, "O b'davar shenahagu leminhag ulechok ve'ein tam b'davar." They do something, and there's no reason for it. The igal amechash bei mishum darchei ha'emori. There's a chashash of darchei emori. V'yesh bo shemetz avodas kachav me'avosehem, and maybe there's some shemetz of avodah zara. So that's the Ramah. A chok, he follows with the Marik that a chok is something we don't know the reason. Why is it a problem if we don't know the reason? So it's not just because the problem fundamentally is not imitating, but rather it's a problem of potentially leading to something related to avodah zarah. So Sorry about that. And Ramosha points out, nafkamina is going to be, of course, if you have something that you know has no shaykhus, tavara zara, flipping the shirt inside out. So for Ramosha, pashas would be mudr, but for the marik, probably would be usr, because obviously you're only doing this because this is a gayish thing to do. So you're doing it to be in line with the guy. What? I hear what you're saying. You're saying by definition you should be cautious, but I guess there's some way, I don't know. You're saying how are you going to have something you're sure about but also don't know reason for? Ramosha writes that. You can take a look. Pretty sure it's the tshuva. I have parts of it quoted later. So in that tshuva he has that comment. Not I don't think in the part that I quoted, but he does have it.
Yes, that question?
No, he doesn't have the question. He points out the nafkamina between the Marik and the Rama.
Oh.
So it's a good question. So, okay. But al kofanim, if there is a reason for it, then it's not aser. I mean, even though it's something that the goyim are doing, it's only the goyim do it. If there's a reason, it's mutter. Right? If there's a reason to do it, and that's in context, that's why it says to wear the doctor's coat. So, yeah, there's a reason to identify the doctors. You want to have a special coat so you know who the doctors are, and that's why he says it would be mutter. That's the Rama quote. And he has his basis for this. Is the Sifri in Parashat Re'eh, where the pasuk says "Pen tidroshe lo ehem leimor"? It's talking about how you should kick out the goyim because you might get influenced and follow their ways. And the Sifri says "Shelo tomar hoil v'hem yotzim betene afani itzim betene." Since they are going out with this basket, I'm going to go out with the basket. And hoil v'hem yotzim bar gaman, they go out with these fancy clothing. Afani itzim bar gaman hoil v'hem yotzim betolsin afani itzim betolsin esakem gam ani. So the problem is when you say, since they're doing it, I'm going to do it also. That means to say it's a problem, the whole reason you're doing it is to imitate the goyim. So if there's a reason for it, can you say the reason I'm wearing a doctor's coat is because I want to be like the goyim? No, the reason I'm wearing the doctor's coat is because I want to be a doctor that's identifiable. So that says the marik is going to be mutter. Interesting. What would be the din? What would be the din if you had a reason, but the goyim don't have a reason for it, right? And they don't have a reason for they have something like the inside, you know, for your shirt inside out day. So they don't have a reason. But we say, you know, good. I don't know, break down your midos, I don't know, Navardic, you know, Shiflas Adam, okay, Kavach Shichas, so maybe we don't want to do it. Come up with some other example. You could have a reason, but the Goyim don't have a reason. So what do you say? How do you want to say the Marik and the Rama on that one? Right, so the Rama, hello. Go ahead. So for the Rama, it's going to be Aser, because the Rama, it doesn't matter what you want to do. For the Rama, the real focus is the fact that the lack of reason is a potential that has a Avodah Zarah sources. But for the Maharik, Chora, not 100% clear, but Lachora, you could say that it would be sufficient for you to have another reason, because then you wouldn't be, you know, for sure imitating the guy. And then a similar suffix that Chronim have is, how clear does the reason have to be? I mean, it's okay to you say, I know why I'm doing this. I'm not doing this to say the goyim. I'm doing this because XYZ. I have a reason why I want to put my shirt inside out today. But or does it have to be something that's obvious? You know, so the wearing of the coat, you know, the doctor's coat, that, you know, that's obvious. That you have, that's the problem. That's the tshuva he was dealing with, is the doctor's coat. The doctor's coat, the goyim have a reason, we have a reason. The doctor's coat is obvious what the reason is. It's obvious that people are using the doctor's coat so people know who the doctors are. But if you don't have exactly that, you know, the Marik doesn't address the middle cases. He addresses those cases where, it's, again, the goyim have a reason, we have a reason, it's obvious what the reason is, but if you're lacking one of those two things, namely, if you're lacking what the goyim having a reason, or you might have a reason but it's not 100% clear, or the goyim's reason is not 100% clear, etc. So those kind of gray areas are not clear in the Marik. That's a little bit of a suffix in the Achronim. Just to round it out, an example, and this approach to the Marik helps explain a Ramban, The Rambam has a Rambam says Hilchos Avodah Zarah, source number 8, Yisrael Shehaya Karov L'Malchus, a Jew who was in the government, he was close to the king, B'tzarech Leishev Lifnei Malchayim, and he has to sit, you know, in the parliament meetings, etc. V'hayu Lo Gnai, and it was a, you know, it didn't look good. L'fisha Lo Yidmelem, he doesn't look like them. Harizim Mutter Lulbosh B'Malbushayim U'Legaleach K'neged Panav K'derech Shein Osim. He's allowed to wear their clothing and shave, obviously, or the Minchas Chinuch points out that it's got to be in a way that's mutter. You can't violate the Isser of you know, lo sashchish pasuk hanecha, but you can shave your face in a certain way. Even though the Jews don't normally, you know, in the old days especially, all Jews had a beard, but most Jews had a beard, so you can shave. It might be, you know, otherwise it would be a problem, but here it's mutter. So the Kesef Mishnah says, how can we matter in Isser Daraisa? Just because you're uncomfortable being close to the king? Oh, so, well, the Kesef Mishnah says, I must be Yesh koch b'yachachamim l'akar davar v'kum v'esei if it's a l'tzor hatzol saravim. To be close to the machos, you could potentially save a lot of people. Must be yesh koch b'yachachamim in that case. Wow, because the Mishnah says that. It brings it down to Beis Yosef also. But the Bach says, you don't have to go there. The Bach says, like Matthew says, no, the Isser is only if you're doing it to be like the Goyim. But if you're doing it for another purpose, could be the Zariah, by the way, I don't know if the Goyim had a reason, but at least a Jew has a reason to do it. He's doing it to make sure he gets in there and he's comfortable with the Goyim, to be able to protect people. So you don't have to get into Yesh Kol V'Yachom. It's not an Isser at all in that situation. That's what the Bach says. Okay. Adkan Geder number 1 of Chukaseyam Lo Selechu. As I mentioned, as Marik mentioned, there he has a second Hagdara of Chukaseyam Lo Selechu. That is more relevant to what we are going to discuss. Possibly more relevant in general. I don't know. Point number 2, if you look back at the Marik towards the end, V'inyan Hasheni, Yesh Lesor Mishum Chukas Hagoyim, Lefi hanizgar, lefi haniyazdaiti, hu hadavar, asher shayach bo ninud pritzas geder hatznius v'ha'anava, yinagu bo hagoyim, kam ze oser. So his lashon is something that has a bit of a break in the guidelines of tznius and humility, which the goyim are doing. That is oser. And he goes on a little bit later. I have put down the lush on my notes. I forgot to get it onto the Mar Mekomas page, but his lushan is beautiful lushan. He says the following. He says, after going on a little bit, he says the lo be ele chelik Yaakov, and these kinds of clothing is not the path of the chelik of the portion of Yaakov of Pal Yisrael. Ela dover Yisrael the darkum lios snuim v'anavim. The way of a Jew is to be snuim, to be modest and to be humble, and therefore. It appears what he means to say is if the goyim are acting in a way of pritzus, that is also a violation of chukas ha-goyim to act in that way. Even though they may have a reason for it, but if there's pritzus for the matter, so then it would be chukas ha-goyim because the Jews were supposed to act in the dark. So yes, acting in the dark pritzus also, kind of by definition, is a is an act of chukas ha-goyim. So, the pashtus is not, because I don't know if that would be considered acting derech pritzus. Derech pritzus is probably in the shuk. Pashtus on dvar. We'll come back to that thought in a little bit. So, and he has a diuk from Rashi. If you look at Rashi, turn over the page, source number 9. So, well-known Gemara, the Gemara talks about Yehareg v'al-Yavor, and the Gemara says that if Shas HaShmad, that the Goyim are going after us, so then we should be Yehareg v'yavor afilu al arkasa de mesana, even on the shoelace. So Rashi says, what's the issue? So Rashi says, source number 9, Surochanal, the shoelace, she'im derech nachrim likshor kach, if it's the way of the goyim to tie it one way, the derech is rov in yinachir, kigon, she'yesh tzad yahadus bedavar, if there's some kind of Jewish, there's something Yiddish about this difference in how we tie our shoes, the derech Yisraelios snuim, and it's the way of the Jews to be snuim. Afilu shinoi zeh she'ein kan mitzvah gal minog ba'alma. Even this difference, it's not really a mitzvah. It's just a minog ba'alma, but albeit a minog ba'alma that has tzad yadus and derech sinus. Yikadish es Hashem b'fnei chaverav The high high medaber b'Yisrael. So you should be mekadesh such a shame b'farhesia. Says the Maharik. Closes Rashi. Says Rashi. You know, the Gemara just says agas hamsana the shulis. So you didn't have to say that there was something about tznius there. You could have just said that it's we do one way, we do it differently in the goyim. Nothing to do with priests. Just stop. We do it a different way. And in fact, there are some Rishonim, I think the Rambam, if I'm not mistaken, the Rambam says, for example, if you have black shoelaces and they have white shoelaces or vice versa, then it's a problem. Black-white is not an issue with tznius, and even so, because you did a different, the Goyim are insisting you do it a particular way, that is considered Argus and Sano in second, and that would be something you have to be a Haragal Yavar. But the Rashi does not say that. Rashi brings in the fact there's derech tznius, and therefore you see that it's only considered a problem to do it's only considered significant or required, let's say, to do differently than the goyim when what the goyim are doing is a violation of tznius or is non-Jewish, like, is lacking a tzad yad, just suggested. Yes?
Wasn't it also the case that, let's say, during the time of war, that you shouldn't even be changing the way you tie your
shoelaces? That's this Gemara.
That's this Gemara.
So you would have thought, just you're saying, just changing it. Just that you just, nothing to do with tznius. But Rashi adds this whole piece about tznius. So it sounds like Rashi is saying that otherwise there's nothing, no issue at all. If there's if it's just because you're different than the goyim. Well, it's Yehari Yahweh because it's Shas Hashmat.
Yes.
And it's for Hesia.
Not because bringing an example of the Vira that's going on here is Chukara.
Yeah, it doesn't sound that way from Rashi, right? He says She'in's Inkan Mitzvah L'minoy Balma. That's right. That's what I was thinking also as I was reading it. Good Kata. Marik brings down the Shas. Not sure. According to Marik, it should be Mamash and Sudaraisa. Interesting. It's a good kasha. Not sure. I hear that kasha. That's a good kasha. Okay, but Akopanim, this is the Marik says, at least, even if he didn't have this Rashi, he does say Misvara. I mean, his Svara is that the way of a Jew is to act with tznius, and if a Goy has a way of acting with derech pritzos, that would be a problem. Just to be mosif onto that, the post can point out that it has to be something that this is the Dibrei Chaim, the Tzanzer Rebbe has a tshuva about this, and Ramosha assumes this way also. It's got to be davka, something which the Jews are poresh from. It sounds this way already in the Marek. That it's not, these are things that we're not talking about major breaches of tznius. You know, we already have our Mishnah tells a few things of what's erva and what's considered a violation of Daki Hudis. We're not even talking about Daki Hudis, but if it's something that the Jews avoid doing because it's a little bit of pretense to davar. So that's what we're talking about with Chukas HaGoyim. Right? That's the context of which we're discussing. The Jews are poorish. So he says in the Sefer I have, he says, Lamashal, let's say a nose ring. So he just gives us an example. Let's say a nose ring, right? So, okay, nose ring came into fashion. Once upon a time, Jews wore nose rings. You see, let's say nose ring came into fashion. So he says, one could say, it's a lack of tznius, you don't have to say it, but let's say someone would come along and say, you know, it's not tznius to use a nose ring. So he said it would only enter the category of Chukas HaGoyim if Klal Yisrael, generally speaking, kind of accepted upon themselves to avoid a nose ring. But until that happens, it's not Chukas HaGoyim. It's the, what makes these things, again, because we're not talking about severe categories of tznius, we're talking about the lashon of the Marik. Was a nid not pritzos tznius, gedra tznius, so that would require the kind of decision as a whole of Klal Yisrael to avoid such activity for it to take on a status of Chukas HaGoyim. What's an example? A good example of that? So we'll come back to that in a second. We'll come back to a good example. Ramosha, just to point this out. Well, I'll tell you Ravadi's example. Ravadi's example is a miniskirt. Ravadi is a tshuva about a miniskirt. And Rabbi says, a minister is kusa goyim.
That's
also for other reasons. Avada, it's also for other reasons. In addition to that, he throws on it's also chus agayim. That's where Avada starts his tshuva. He's a tshuva in chelik vav, sim yudal, I think I may have put it on last time, but chelik vav sim yudal, your day, I say the tshuva, and he says, he starts, like, you know, the Avada tshuva is very long, so he says, besides for the fact there's lifnei iver, and you bring up her hurim, and he quotes that pasuk I mentioned earlier in from Shabbos, da 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 da, all these makoros that the problem to be like that, to bring about ish, you know, her hurim and other things, there's also an issue of chukas hagayim. That's how he starts his tshuva. But in a chanami, avad with other tshuva. But that's one example of chukas hagayim where Avadia cites. Ramosha, he doesn't get into specifics of what types of clothing. For Moshe in this tshuva over here, so he's Mesubuk, he says, what if you have something, let's say for instance a miniskirt. Miniskirt, it might be different. Ravadi wrote that tshuva in 1973. I'm not sure, I don't know exactly where to draw the line with these things. Ramosha says, let's say something that's mamish, it's parts. There's no question it's a beggar priestess. Again, these are also for other reasons. They're just it's a little bit academic, this discussion. But let's say you have something that was mamish priestess. But we'll say, I want to say to Harabim, there Jews, a lot of Jews who wear it. So, who have this clothing? So, could that be called chukas hagoyim? Meaning, it's blatant. You know, these kind of small things, so it's the fact that the Jews are polished from it that gives it a status of chukas hagoyim. That's what the Mariah seems to be saying in the Achronim Muslim. But let's say what I'm saying, blatant. It's just obvious, preaches to us. Their emotion is masu. At the end of the tshuva, he says, I'm not sure what to do then. And he says that Nahul Bichet is also for other reasons. But he has the suffix, could that be Chukas HaGoyim? So, a little bit unclear, but I'll call upon him something that Jews are poreis from seems to be Chukas HaGoyim. Something with a little bit of a breach of sneas that Jews are poreis from is Chukas HaGoyim. So, I don't know what, so what things are there like this? So before we get to that, just Ramosha's tshuva is just an interesting tshuva. Ramosha says, look down at source. So as I mentioned, so just maybe we'll read inside, the Shulchan Aruch in source 10 has the halacha of chukas hagoyim, and the Ramah says, if you look at the first line of the Ramah, where the Os Vav is, source 10, v'chol ze'eino asar ela b'davar shenahagu bo ha'ovdei kochavim l'shum pritzus. It's something that the goyim do for pritzus. I was talking to Rabbi Neuberger today, he was also mesupak. Maybe the goyim have to do it for pritzus. What if the goyim just they're not doing it to be dafka pritzus, they're just whatever, it's the fashion. Ravadi assumes if the fashion is miniskirts, that's also a problem. Even if they're not doing it because they want to dress in a very pritzistic way, that's just the fashion. Ravadi assumes that if it's pritzistic, it's a problem. But okay, not clear. So kigon shenag lulbosh malbushma dumim. They started wearing red clothing. Who malbush sarim, and it's fancy clothing. Chadomelazeh mimalbushi apritzus. Oh, bedavar shenagul leminagul lechok vein tam bedavar dika lemeichas be mishum darchei amori viyesh b'shem etzavur eschachem, as we saw earlier. So those things are a problem. So those are the two categories of the Marik quoted right there. Aval davar shenagul leto eles, but something that has a purpose. Kigon shedarkon shekol mishu rofe mumches yesh lo malbush miyuchad shenikar boshu rofe. That special clothing they know. Oh, he's in rofe uman. Mutter the love show. The cane sha'osim mishum kavod tamacher. It doesn't have to be that. If you do it because of kavod, you do it for another reason. Mutter. That's the Maharik. So, brought down the Rambam. Says Ramosha, you come to America in the 20th century, Hasidim are coming from Poland. In Poland they wore whatever they wore. He said, can you put on American clothing? That's Ramosha's tshuva. Source number 12. Binyan hamalbushim shebemedina zu she'ein chiluk bein Yisraelim lenachrim imichuyavim bnei Poland shebo lepo v'gam hanoladim mehem bepo lilbosh osan hamalbushim shayunogin bePoland mitzad isher demalbushay nachrim. So they have to wear the Polish clothing here in America. That's his tshuva. And basically he goes ahead and quotes the Marik. That's where he makes his diukim along the way that we mentioned earlier. Marik and Arma, but he quotes the Marik and he says that since the end of the day, the clothing nowadays, regular clothing, there's no pretzis. You wear a suit, there's no pretzis in a suit. Regular clothing, there's a reason. It looks nice, you look put together. We can't say these are clothing that doesn't have a hope to wear them. It makes sense to wear clothing, says Ramosha. If that's once you get past that, there's no problem at all of chukas hagoyim. There's not a problem and wearing the clothing that way. He does point out that the Gra, maybe source 11, we're reading inside, the Gra does argue. We've been going with the Marik the whole time. But you may have been troubled. Chugas HaGoyim, what do you think it means? On a simple level, you have to be different than the Goyim. Right? You can't act like the Goyim. So the Maharik says, no, it means you can't like do kind of ways that stand out of being like the Goyim. You know, to wear clothing that's obviously following the ways of the Goyim, or to wear clothing that's priestistic, that's in the way of the Goyim. But just like, you know, he has a nice, oh, Banana sells a shirt, oh, I want to get that shirt, okay. That's not Chugas HaGoyim. But the Gra says no. And it's based on a comedy, so I didn't want to get into the details of the sugya. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Gemara in Sanhedrin, Machlokes Rishonim. But the Gra, based on Tosos versus, while the Ramah Marik is more or less based on the Ran, the Gra in Source 11 basically argues on this approach. And the Gra says, just the key line of the Gra, he says, I guess three lines down, he says, Elevadai, the middle of the line, three lines down, Elevadai, Hakol Aser, Rak Davka Lilmon Mehem Aser. To learn anything you learn from the Goyim is Aser. Anything. What's the exception? To go to the three lines from the bottom, or two lines from the bottom of Malbush Shehayinu Loshim Belav Hachi Mutter. It's only permitted if it's something that we would have worn anyway. Two lines from the bottom there. And he says, "V'chein lo kasha kol rayos marik." All the marik's rayos are something where it wasn't miyuchad davka for the goyim, you know, etc. But the so he says that if you learn something from the goyim, that's the problem, and that's what maybe the pashuk shan and the pasuk chugosayim lo sadechu don't learn from what they do. So he says, if you, anything you learn from the goyim is a problem. So says Rav Moshe, well, maybe according to the Gra, they're going to come from Poland, they come off the boat, they look at the clothing the Goyim are wearing, that's nice looking clothing, we should wear that clothing. They wouldn't have known of these clothing had they never met this Goyim. That's what Ramah says, maybe you should say V'chukoseyam lo seylechu for clothing, like that. But he points out that it's hard, you can't say, the clothing in America is not Goyish clothing, it's Jews and Goyim wear the clothing in America. So there's no, he just says everyone would agree, because just we can't call this Goyish clothing. It's equally Jewish and Goyish. It's not necessarily Goyish clothing. And that's, therefore, the Ramah concludes that even according to the Gra would be mutter. So it's a machlokes the Ramah and Rav Ovadia also in Teshuva. They seem to assume not like the Gra. They again back to the Marif that it's got to be davka something mishunadik. It's not just merely did you learn it from the Goyim. The Gra, the line is, did you learn it from the Goyim or did you think of it on your own? That would be much stricter in terms of how to draw the line on things. But the seems to be the assumption of Rav Moshe and Rav Ovadia is to be with the is to say like the Maharik. Okay. Now we mentioned, so Matthew maybe took pause as I was reading this. I was reading, looking down, so I didn't see what your reaction was. But one of the things that did cause may have caught your attention that potentially could be an issue with the Goyim is what the Ramah mentions, Marik also mentions, wearing red clothing. That's what that's the example of the Ramah. And the Shach in Source 13 at the bottom, he says, Malbushim Adumim, so She'ein Derech Atzduim Lios Adumim, Lelusham, it's not the way of Tzduim to wear red clothing, Betzeva HaShachar, and black clothing, Hu Derech Atznius V'achna. That's the way of modesty and humility and submitting yourself to Hashem. Because Arina Mishiyitzur Misgaber Allah, the person the Yitzhar is getting to him, you should put on black clothing. The Od Hasam Misoris Biodenu, Od Hasam is quoting from the Maharik, Misoris Biodenu Lahakbin Alavisha Sa'odam Livnei Aminim. There's a Misora to be Makbin, not to wear red. That is what the Maharik basically says. Shach is elaborating on it. And that seems to be this idea that there's a little bit of priestess in red clothing. Once a little bit of priestess, Jews don't wear it. Chukas HaGoyim. That's what Ramah says. So that's what, on a simple level, should be. One could argue the following. The Darchei Tshuva brings down a Tshuva from Rav Yitzchak Elchanan. Now, the red could go either way, men, women. It's not necessarily a women's thing, the red clothing. And the context of the shuvah of Rav Yitzchak Elchanan is Dafka men wearing red clothing. But he addresses and he says, nowadays it's okay. The Menachas Chinuch points this out in Mitzvah Reish Nun Aleph. It's about Shechitas HaZakan, but he talks about Achukas HaGayim in the clothing. And this all depends on time and place. This is a very time and place kind of halacha. And therefore he says if this type of clothing is not considered predestined clothing anymore, so then it's not a problem. So one could argue based on that nowadays, I don't know, I was discussing this with Rabbi Neuberger today, he thought that the minhag is not to be machped on this, that red clothing is, people think red is like a sign of priestess. Bold in this room?
It's just bold.
It's bold. So when I discussed this with Reb Shechter said, I don't know, this is going, he said, but you should be sanua in general. You should, as Reb Shechter likes to say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kel mistater, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a hidden God. And he always makes a joke, and he told me the joke again today, and I wanted to say, yes, I've heard this from you a lot of times, Rebbe, but he said, God is so hidden that most of the world doesn't even see him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden, we're supposed to act like God. We should be more hidden. We don't want to be out there. Sometimes we have to put ourselves out there in the public spotlight, but as a general rule, we try to, blend in with everyone else. So like you're saying, it's bold. So bold is a problem in and of itself, but lack of tzniyus is necessarily associated with it.
I don't think it's called it.
Right. So that's what Rabbi Neuberger's Natiya was. Lamaisa in the Halichas Bas Yisrael, and that's a quote from Rosh Shlomo Zalman or Rav Yashiv, that they were makbid about this, but Rav Yashiv was only makbid on red. He said anything, it's already a little bit maroonish, is Bordeaux. I think it's a color, Bordeaux. I think Ireland's coming in fashion. I don't know, once heard one of my sisters were talking about this, I think. So, a variation of red, already Rav Yashiv says not a problem. It sounds like even he's just saying okay, kach kibla, this is a Masorah, red is a problem. He says only red if it's on the whole clothing, really stands out, a little bit of red is not a problem.
This is for both men and women?
What?
Or just men?
This chora would be both. You don't see a difference in this in the Ramah and the Shach. We do have this source where Yitzchak Elchanan says it about men's clothing. Seemingly you could apply, if you want, seemingly it should go either way. It's an interesting point. I didn't see the Sefer Halilichos Bas Yisrael, so they didn't discuss the men's clothing. But Agav, Matthew, Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, based on our sugya, this is how I saw quoted there, I didn't look it up inside. Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, based on our sugya, it only applies bashuk. Because that's what Rashi says. Tosa says, it's something red. It's something red bashuk. That's the problem here of Tava bashuk. And you could say, Zaz Yudis, maybe this is not full-fledged, all out red. There's just a string of red, along the lines of saying before from Rav Yashiv. But it's specifically bashuk, as indicated here, there seems to be a problem with red in the shuk, and that's where it would be a problem. But in the house, in this one, maybe even in the house in front of other people, I'm not sure. Maybe, I don't know. Yesh Lion was there. It was quoted from a sefer, Oman Ichoma, which I've seen quoted before, but I did not get a chance to take it out of the library or look for it in the library. That's what they said. Rabbi Yashiv is Messiah in our Gemara to say that or Shom Zaman was Messiah in our Gemara to say it's Dafka Vashuk. So, in sum, back to the pants, by the way, Ravadi has a few things. Pants are not quite chukas agoyim. Why? Maybe because it's not done with derech pritzus. Maybe because there are too many Jews that wear pants. I'm not sure. So Ravadi does assume that there's no issue of chukas agoyim by pants. Red all out, maybe yeshmukh mahachmir, maybe yes, maybe no, maybe think times have changed. But these are the two categories of lachla maisa when we calculate chukas agoyim. And could, again, it's not only limited to clothing. Is it something that doesn't have any reason? It's some strange thing the goyim are doing. If you do it, that would be a problem. And we could think of activities and different kinds of things that are in that way. Category number two is something that Jews don't do. It's a little pizza stick and Jews don't do. It's not, we wouldn't call it a violation, of outright violation. See, it's a little pizza stick. So that would be, if Jews avoid it, that would be a problem with chukas goyim. And with that, I think we'll be Messiah our discussion on Inyanei Tznius here.